You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here
on Sundays,
message is Pastor
and I
Ralph.
Was coming in today just dragging a little bit, so I'm tuning on the radio, just trying to find something. I'm about a half hour away. And as I'm coming, I'm saying, man, that preacher sounds familiar. As I'm listening to the radio, and I said, that's me.
Oh, no.
I preached at this church up in Merritt Island, and the guy who runs the station many times uses what I do up there and puts it on his. He has a WGOD radio program. So I'm sitting there, I'm listening, I'm saying, man, that's me. And so I'm listening, and it's amazing. I got to send him a text, let him know that he used me to encourage me because I was dragging. And seriously, when I heard it, it really lifted me up. It really lifted me up. It was a blessing. I got to let him know that, and I just wanted to share that with you guys. If our hearts and minds are clear, let's open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for this day that you have granted by your grace and mercy. I thank you for the encouragement, Father God, using my own sermon against me, Father God, or for me. And I thank you for that, Lord. I needed that little uptick, that little uplift. And I thank you, Father God, we come just ministering to these guys this morning. Father, wherever they are, and Lord, whatever they're going through, Father, for their families, for their friends, that you would touch and bless, Father God, a special prayer for a lady by the name of Judy, and she's got COVID, dear Lord, and surely has had it for a little bit, and needs a touch from you, and we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you will minister to her, and even in the midst of that, Father God, not only bring about a healing, but Father God, encourage her in the name of Jesus Christ. With these guys, Father God, we ask, Lord, as we conclude this study in this book of Ephesians, that you'll touch and bless and allow these truths to fall in a place in our hearts where they would do the most good. As we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake, amen. And amen. We're in the book of Ephesians by way of review. I'm going to start in chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 1. Some verses that we've already seen, but we'll just read through some of these. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Everybody have a handout? I'm assuming you all do. There are some Bibles on the back shelf back there, I'm sure. If you don't have a Bible, you might want to go back to get one so you can read along with us. And Paul writes here, and we saw this last week, it said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, and he says, with promise. In that promise, he goes on in verse 3. We saw this last week. It said, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on earth. And listen, it's indeed a commandment with a promise that if we treat our parents right, that it's going to go well, and we're going to live long on earth. And I always look at the other side of that, and I did last week as well. If you don't treat them well, that it probably is not going to go well, and your life might not be that long here on earth. And I don't know if I shared last week, guys, but if you've hurt your parents in any way, if you're estranged from them, you need to open up that door, and you need to ask for their forgiveness. And even if sometimes you've done wrong by your parents and they've gone on or died, that you go to the Lord with that and just ask him, let him know that look, I know I did wrong. I can't talk to them now because they're no longer here. But I need you to know I'm in agreement with you that I did them wrong, and I ask you to forgive me. And you go to the Lord as well. You want to get that right. You don't want to carry that. And by the way, not just your parents. That could be anybody that you wronged. And there's been some throughout your life, and you know it, and I know it. I've had to do it, and I dare say you need to do it as well. In verse 4, he says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, and we said last week that could be someone, you're working for somebody in authority over you, even here. It says, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh. It says, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto the Lord. So we're working on a job, and we're working, yes, for that boss, locally or earthly, but in reality, we're actually working for the Lord. Would you know that here, if you're given instruction and you refuse to do what they're saying, it's a good chance they might invite you to leave this place. Amen? So you want to do right. You want to follow instruction. I'm talking about instruction that does not contradict anything in the Word. That if somebody's in authority over you, you need to give them that in regard to us actually being obedient to God. And he even shows us how in verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God. And the last three words in this verse, it says, from the heart. In other words, we're not just acting like we're going to do it and, oh, okay, I'll do it. And in your heart, you really don't, or you're really not wanting to do it. He says, no, give it your all. Go ahead and give it your all. You got to do it anyway, so you might as well do it right and don't be hypocritical about it. He says in verse 7, with goodwill, doing service as what? Unto who? As unto or to the Lord and not to men. So as a Christian, as a believer, man, we now work for Jesus Christ. And so the service I give ought to be the best service I got because I'm working for him. And I love the fact he goes on, he says in verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same, it says, shall be he receive of the Lord, whether he be bound or free. And he's talking about those under somebody else's authority. As we give out good service, guess what? The Lord's going to be pleased with us and bless us and grace our lives and even send blessings our way because of our attitude, especially of our attitude toward somebody who you figure really don't deserve it, but they're over me, so I'm going to give them their just dues. He says in verse 9, and your masters, talking about those that are in authority over, he says, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. And you know sometimes we can do that. You in a position of authority, and if you don't do what I say, I'm going to fire you or whatever. And that's what he's talking about there. Knowing that your master also, he says, is in heaven, neither is no respect of person with him. And listen, he said he don't much care. God don't care what kind of position you get in. First of all, if you get in a position, it's only because he's allowed it. And once he has you in that position, he expects you to conduct yourself as a godly servant of Christ. Amen? He goes on in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, and he saves the best for last here, and we all gave you that sheet with the four armor, and he's getting ready to go into that a little bit. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And this is the kicker, man. Even when you don't feel like it, even when you feel weak, even if you're sick, he's saying that we can still be strong, but not in our own strength. We can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And look, in the power of God's might, we can do some things that we normally couldn't do. There's some folk that you can't stand, but in the power of the Lord, you can actually love them. There's some chores you might not want to do, but if you're called upon to do it and you're supposed to do it, though you don't want to do it, in the power of the Lord, you can do it. There was a phone call I had to make last night to my sister-in-law. I shouldn't have said that because this will end up on radio and she'll hear it. But I had to make this phone call because she's going through some things. So my wife asked me to call her, and I really didn't want to call her, but I did. I sucked it up, I prayed, and I called her. And as I called her, and the phone rang, and it rang and rang. So finally, she did not answer, so I left a message. And about 2 hours later, she called me back, or she texted me back, and she said, I'm so glad you called. She said, I've been hurt, and I'm in pain, and I know somebody told you about my pain, and I just want to let you know it meant so much to me that you called and was concerned about her. And listen, the only reason I did it is because the Lord had her on my heart after my wife told me she was going through some things. But in of myself, I would not have made that call because she's a little rough to deal with. But because I made that call in obedience to the Lord and in His strength, it literally made her day. And guys, you can make somebody's day as well. There are some things you might be holding on to, some things from the past, and maybe the Lord has it on your heart to ask for forgiveness or tell somebody I'm sorry, but you've made up in your mind, I ain't never telling them I'm sorry. I ain't never forgiving them. If the Lord's leading you a certain way, you need to give it up and do what God is telling you to do. Amen? He says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, he says, against the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles, simply put, means his devious ways. And listen, Satan's going to come at you all kinds of ways. And most of the time, you're not even going to know it's him. He's going to be trying to use an individual to mess you up, to trip you up, to get you off of where God has you, to push you to a place where you really shouldn't go. And if we're not really walking in the power of the Lord, we might go there. And he tells us for that reason, we need to put on the whole armor of God. He says so that we're able to stand against the devious ways or the wiles of the devil. And listen, if we're not standing, then we're what? You're falling. If you don't have on the whole armor of God, he's going to knock you down. And he's saying that you're able to stand, but not in your power, but in the power of the Lord. He goes on in verse 12. For we wrestle, look, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world. And he's talking about this world system. And by the way, Satan is in control of this world system with God's permission. It says against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he's talking about those of the world and the way that they want to do the things of the world. And he says that, look, we wrestle. And he's not saying box. He says wrestle. So he's talking about hand-to-hand combat, guys. How Satan will get up front, up close and personally. He'll get all up in your private business. He'll bring up stuff from your past. He doesn't fight clean. He fights dirty. Almost like the wrestling you see on TV, WWF. Man, them guys jumping off ropes and hitting folk when they turn around. That's how Satan fights. And he gets right up close and will tell you about something you did when you were 16. And whip up on you with that. And while you're thinking about that, he'll send somebody else your way to bring up some accusations that may or may not be true, and all designed to get you off your game, to depress you, to get you down in the dumps so that you forget that you're in a war. And that war is not against your buddy, not against your neighbor. That war, hallelujah, guys, is against Satan. And he'll continue to come at you and continue to try to mess you up. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he's talking about in high heavenly places. He goes on in verse 3, and for that reason, he says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, and listen, as opposed to falling, he says, in the evil day. And by the way, when is that evil day? Who woke up this morning? You think Satan has some designs on you? And look, sometimes even before you wake up, you have some ridiculous dreams and wake up with that on your heart. So he says, so that you're able to withstand in the evil day. It says, and having done all, what does he tell us to do?
To stand.
To stand on the promises of God. and look, after you've done everything you've done, and look at everything God has required of you, and you've done it, and you do it, and then you stand. I'm not moving. I'm not going back to the old. I'm not picking up my old ways. I am not going to go along with the things of this world. God has told me that I'm okay, that I'm His, that He'll never leave me, and for that reason, hallelujah, I'm standing. And I'll not be moved. Now bring it. And listen, as a child of God, you can say that. You can be bold. Because you're doing that in the power of the Lord and not in your own power. He goes on in verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And we see number one on our little sheet. The belt of truth. And listen, that belt of truth, you see at the top, it says it protects your will and God's will in your heart. And it said that Satan fights with lies and only believers had the truth. So we're fighting with God's truth. When Satan says you're no good, you're dirty, you're a sinner, and guess what? All that is true. But God says, I'm more than a conqueror through Him who strengthens me. I don't have to listen to His lies. I used to be that, but I ain't that no more. And I got on His belt of truth. And again, just like those wrestlers, they wear that great big belt. That's what you got. Only it's a belt, hallelujah, truth. And we got 66 books of truth. And by the way, the only way you can stand in God's truth, you need to know some of God's truth. And the only way you can know God's truth is from coming to sessions like this, yes. But you need to get in this book for yourself and find out what God has for you collectively as a church and also individually as an individual. He says in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on, look what he says next, the breastplate of righteousness. And listen, we know and we see it here that this breastplate of righteousness, and listen, Satan trying to trick me up. And listen, it's not our blessedness or our righteousness. It is God's righteousness. And by the way, it goes over your heart. It protects your heart. And listen, what we know is that Satan's going to try to attack our emotions, our heart, our self-will, our trust. He wants us to stop trusting God. And listen, if you're an emotional person, he'll try to get in there for something you done in the past, or try to get you to go on your flesh, to go on your emotions. And he also said that, listen, he'll even try to make you think that you are guilty of everything you've ever done. And in a way, that is true, because you did it. But God says Christ has paid that sin. Right. And because of that, I'm not guilty. God's grace and God's mercy, man, He covered all that mess I did. And listen, I've done some mess, and you've done some mess. Some of it I love to forget, but Satan tries to remind me of it. And again, when God goes to look for your sin, there's no record of it because it's been thrown in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be recovered or picked up no more. And because God doesn't see it, we don't need to grab it back up and regurgitate it all over again. Some of the stuff, some of the things we've done have been horrific, have been rough. Again, to the point you don't want to think about it. But you don't have to think about it. Because God says that it does not exist anymore. Because it's been given to Jesus Christ, who died on a cross, to pay for that sin as well. Right now, guys, just think in your mind about the worst thing you can think that you've ever done, and then just simply wipe it out of your mind, because God has done that through Christ as well. He says, stand therefore, verse 14, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, And by the way, it's God's righteousness, and he's covering our hearts. Amen. Look at verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we see at the bottom of the page, number 3, that listen, with these feet they're shod. And listen, with the Roman soldiers, they would wear these sandals. And they were almost like golf shoes. They had spikes in them. Because they would come up and they would all be arm to arm and side to side, and they would march forward. And when the other armies would come and they would try to push them back, they could not move because they were digging them spikes in the ground. And what he is saying is that you got the good news of Christ, you don't back off of that, and plus you share that good news and let others be blessed by God with that very same good news. And I don't much care whether if something hellish or high water come, I'm not backing off of that truth. Because God gave that to me. And because he gave it to me, it's in my heart, covered by the breastplate of righteousness, and I'll not be moved in regard to going back or in regard to believing the lie of the world. And by the way, that she also says that we need to be available and ready to give the gospel to somebody who just don't know. And we ought to walk around with those guns cocked and ready to fire. Man, one of the hardest things I ever had to do, and I'm sure I shared it with you guys, was to witness to my own mother. And I did that. And I had no idea that she was going to leave this earth within the next 6 months. But God had me to do that. And I shared it with her. And ultimately, she came to faith in Christ. And then he took her home. And even though she was my mother, and most of the times we think our parents should know more than us, many times they do not. So when God sends you to somebody, or send somebody your way, you need to tell them about the goodness and graciousness of God. And by the way, the sheet also said the enemy wants us to think that telling others the good news is worthless and a hopeless task. And sometimes it might seem like that. It might seem like they're not listening. But Paul says that one plants and another waters. But who gives the increase? He gives the increase in his time. So it's not worthless. It's a task that we need to do. And God has called us to that task. He says in verse 15, and your feet shod, in other words, are covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In verse 16, he says, above all, he says, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And listen, we see that shield, and we know that it protects us all the fiery arrows that Satan wants to send our way. And look, he'll tell you ain't no good, and woo, send that bad boy off with God's shield of faith, that we believe that God has paid for my sin, and I'm not taking that sin to glory. Done. Paid for. And when they come, try to come and say, I heard that thought you had, or I saw you looking at that woman, fend it off as well, as we give even current sins to the Lord, and he forgives them as well. And nothing gets through our faith, our shield of faith, because we believe so strong that no matter what lie comes down the pike, I'm not giving up my faith in Christ Jesus. And even if a fiery arrow happens to slip through, I still got on my breastplate of righteousness, and it will never pierce where my spirit man lives, and I'm going to be okay. He says in verse 16, in fact, shield of faith here, it says the enemy attacks with insults, setbacks, and temptations. Who can amen that? He does, and he comes your way, and that shield of faith can fend off those as well. He protects, it says, from the fiery arrows. It says, cling to our hope in Christ and refuse to believe a lie. Does anybody believe the lie this week? You have to say so, just keep it to yourself. But if you did, understand that you didn't have to, and you never have to again. Amen. He says, verse 16, and above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. And we see that the helmet, it covers our dome, it covers our head, it covers our thought process, and the sword of the Spirit. And listen, this helmet that's around our head and covers our thought process is protecting our mind. And listen, it identifies us that listen, whose side we are on, and we are on the Lord's side. And the enemy wants us to doubt. He wants us to think you ain't saved, you ain't going to heaven. And no, that helmet of salvation is there, and we know we're saved because Scripture says we're saved. And whatever he tries to bring to my mind, I cast that out in the name of Jesus Christ. You have thoughts in your head, man. I do all day long, every day. Sometimes I'm dreaming stuff I ain't got no business dreaming. Not in control of that. But what I do after that thought enters my head, that is in my control. If he reminds me of something I used to do back in the day, something I liked, my flesh liked, I don't have to play with it. I dismiss it, and I move on in Christ Jesus. In this, I do want to show of hands. How many times have you gotten in trouble because of something you're playing in your mind? And I'm a living witness to that. It gets in there, and you know what it is, and you start twirling it around. And sooner or later, if you play with it too long, even your flesh starts recognizing it and starts responding to the thought in your mind. And there's been times when I literally slapped my face and said, "Stop it. You don't live there anymore." He says, and take the helmet, verse 17, of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And by the way, guys, that's our only actual offensive weapon, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And when Satan comes with his lies, we counteract lies with truth. But again, you got to know some truth in order to counteract or fight Satan when he brings his lies. You need to be in this book, man, not just when you have chapel or not just when they make you. You need to be in this book on a regular basis. You need to get it in you. And look, I get it. Sometimes you're reading the Bible and you say, "I'm not really getting that much out of it." I don't care. Read it anyway. Because if the Spirit is in you, he's going to help you to understand what God's saying in his word. He says in verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Christ said in Matthew 4:4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But you're not going to know what proceedeth out of his mouth unless you're in the book to understand it, to remember it, and God can use it and regurgitate it back in your heart or up in your heart in the time of trouble. Amen. And he goes on and he says in verse 18, praying always.
You have been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp lamp@gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.